AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, fam, I'm Jada Pinkett Smith, and this is the Red Table Talk podcast. All your favorite episodes from the Facebook Watch show in audio, produced by Westbrook Audio and iHeartRadio. Please don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts.
A Red Table Talk exclusive.
Prior to hitting me, he had made threats. Oh, I'm gonna do this to you. And I never believed it. I never thought that the person that I love would hurt me to that extent. They literally just punched me in my mouth.
It was like gut-wrenching.
For the first time, R&B superstar Ashanti and her family come together.
As the older sister that wants to protect my younger sister, no one gets a book on how to handle this.
We're a private family. We don't go telling our business.
I was like, oh, nah. I went in the garage. I got the bat. I pulled up in the truck. I had Vaseline. I was ready.
For a powerful and important conversation.
He had actually already finished strangling me. That was actually why I had picked up the knife.
When I was 21, I had to pull a knife out on somebody, too.
An eye-opening look at the damage and devastation caused by domestic abuse that happens every 3 seconds in America.
And I cried out for my mom, I cried out for my sister, because they happened to be there.
They were in the same house.
Oh, he was real bold.
Here we are. This is
a very serious topic today.
It is a very serious topic. It's one of those topics that touches everybody.
Yeah.
In an RTT exclusive, Ashanti, her sister Shia, and their mother Tina are here to open up about how domestic violence changed their family forever. We're gonna start with Shia. We saw these photos you and your sister recently shared on social media. So, Shia, can you tell us what was going on here?
That was the result of my relationship with my ex. Those series of photos were actually a few different events. That was the darkest time in my life. Oof. That was after he had pushed me down the stairs, kicked me. There were so many different instances and experiences that I did. It's kind of all of a blur.
Mm-hmm.
But that particular instance, we were arguing and he literally just popped me in my eye. I had sunglasses on.
How did it start out for you? What was the relationship like in the beginning, Shia?
I had met him when I'd just gotten out of high school. I was just going to college. I was about 18 or 19 years old. I hadn't really had a real relationship, you know, a real, what you would call an adult relationship. In the beginning, it was pretty fun. He was extremely attentive. complimenting me on my hair, on my clothes, what I was wearing. He was giving me the attention that I felt that I needed and that I desired. It's like, oh, this feels good. You know, this is a guy who has a little bit of money, who is showing me affection, attention that I feel I haven't had.
Yeah. It feels good to have someone shower you with attention.
Yes.
And you never think in a million years that's going to turn into abuse.
Exactly.
Absolutely not.
You never think that. I was connected to him because I had inner child issues, inner child trauma. I wanted to fill a void.
Right. Can you talk to us a little bit about or describe what you mean by inner child issues?
Absolutely. The inner child traumas that I experienced were kind of, I would say, because of my sister's career.
Yeah.
Her actual album came out on my 13th birthday. Like literally on my 13th birthday. Yeah. So it was an exciting time for the family. However, at the age of 13, that's when you come to
into yourself.
To yourself. Exactly. Yeah. And at that time, I feel as though my confidence and my belief in self, I didn't have the two-parent family home. Mom was trying to balance being on the road.
Absolutely.
And then being there with me.
And I will say, my 13th birthday, that's, you know, you're going into your teens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like, as a young woman, that's so exciting. Mm-hmm. And for that to kind of be alongside this monumental career moment could have probably felt very, I mean, like, well, that was supposed to be my moment. That was supposed to be my 13th birthday.
Me?
That was supposed
Absolutely.
To be my coming into myself.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what I found is that trauma is not only something that you actually go through or experience, it's something that you also are lacking as well. A moment in your life where you were looking for something and it didn't happen. And so now you develop these coping mechanisms and they show up in
they
these relationships.
Yeah.
And so I desired
that attention.
That attention.
How long did the relationship last?
We were together for 13 years. But the physical abuse started within the last 2 to 3 years.
Mm.
But I would say the mental abuse had started from the beginning.
Yeah.
And what did that look like?
So that was like love bombing, consistent calling, checking in. How are you? I'm just calling to make sure you're okay, et cetera. The gifts, all of that contributes to the void that you feel. You enjoy
like,
someone checking in on you. Exactly. Where are you? What are you doing? And then over time, it kind of became a little bit of a controlling thing. So there were things that I felt were wrong. I would speak out on them. And he would try to make me believe the way that I thought was wrong.
Yeah.
Over time, it's almost like someone is chipping away.
A little bit of gaslighting.
Yeah,
like, am I actually wrong one here? Like,
correct.
Yeah.
You begin to kind of question yourself and second guess. And then because you love this person, you're like, okay, I hear what you're saying.
There must be some truth to it.
Yeah, some truth.
So it just kept you in doubt.
It kept me in doubt.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Kept me in doubt.
And you're wanting to be in the relationship. You want to please him.
Exactly.
So you're trying to be the woman
that he wanted.
Yeah.
Exactly. To be quite honest, prior to hitting me, he had made threats. He had said things like, oh, I'm gonna do this to you, or I should do this. And I never believed it. After years of us being together, we were on a break. After time, he decided that he wanted to make the relationship work, and I took him back. And he had began to grow suspicious of what I was doing during the time of our break. He began to become very, very jealous, very angry. He became even more controlling than he'd already been. And that was when the physical abuse started. So the first time that he laid hands on me was actually really horrific. He kind of planned the whole thing out, the whole scenario. So he'd put the blinds down. Like it was an actual planned out thing. He was upset about something. There was an argument that we got into. And he questioned me on some things. And I was just completely unaware. I'm like, you know, what's going on? And he literally just punched me in my mouth, which was like, I can't describe the shock. I can't describe the pain. It was like, where is this coming from? And why are you doing this to me? I ran and he chased after me and he began to continue to hit me. I ran to a neighbor's apartment. Mm-hmm. I stayed at the neighbor's for probably like an hour or so. I was able to actually have one of my sister's security that worked in LA come and escort me and see me out and make sure that I was good. I had to grab whatever I had on me and I went to a hotel.
Who did you call when that happened?
My mom.
You didn't call any authority like the police or?
No, I didn't. And that's what's unfortunate because I found myself in the position where I was so mentally abused that I was protecting him.
I understand that.
I was protecting him.
I understand that.
I called my mom and they were in shock. They were like, what? He hit you?
Yeah.
He's never hit me before. Right. It was verbal abuse. It was mental abuse. But I never thought that he would take it there.
Right, right.
I feel like we sometimes as women, we give the benefit of the doubt in situations, and I really shouldn't have.
So after the first time...
What was a conversation that the two of you had when you went back?
There was a lot of apologizing in order for me to come back. It was a lot of, I'll never do that again. I don't know what came over me. I want you back. I want us to be a family. And prior to this, I had had a miscarriage. And so it was, I believe, a play on my mind because I wanted to have a child and have a family.
Yeah.
Looking back, it was irresponsible on my behalf.
I don't know if that's the right term.
Yeah.
No? Irresponsible. No.
Shia, when we love people, we really want to believe that they can change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself up for that.
Right.
I don't want you to think that you were irresponsible or you didn't, you know.
To kind of put the blame on you.
And it shouldn't be seen as a bad thing to be a person who wants someone that they love to change.
And when we know better,
we do better. Yeah. No, absolutely. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
100%.
I will grant myself that grace because that is a trauma response, trying to correct someone, trying to help someone. We think we can fix
exactly
people and
right.
make that person be who it is that you desire, and we're just going to work this out, you know.
Yeah. How far along were you when you had your...
I was pregnant.
Yeah.
I was like 4 months.
Yeah.
There was verbal abuse taking place throughout that time. There was threatening, like, energy, you know. And so I'd come to learn that there was nothing wrong with me that caused me to miscarry. It was more so what I was experiencing, that environment that I was in.
Right.
The stress, it contributed. And that was devastating, because I wanted that child so badly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how did it escalate after the first time?
I actually began therapy prior to the abuse. I'd gone to therapy to try to fix the relationship.
Right.
And my therapist even shared with me, you know, if he's hit you once, he's going to hit you again. And it's just going to progressively get worse.
Yeah.
Over the course of 2.5 years, the abuse was pretty frequent. I would say it was more than 10 times that we'd gotten into really, really heated fights. There would be times I'd have to call family members to come pick me up because we would be fighting and I would have to get out of the car. I'd be on the side of the road calling somebody to come get me.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
So not only did it get worse, he actually knocked my teeth out.
Got it.
It was the ultimate, like, that was when I left. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. I never thought that the person that I loved could hurt me to that extent. It was a very, very small argument. It was very minimal. He had come home around 7 a.m. in the morning, and I questioned him on where he was and what he was doing. And he didn't like what I had to say. And so he literally punched me in my mouth. I could literally feel my teeth. I could feel everything just shift. And my whole entire face, you know, I kind of came back too. And I'm like, I see the blood, and I was in so much shock. Like,
it's unthinkable.
It's unthinkable. It's like, you hit me. You broke my teeth. And he was like, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. You hit your face on the railing. You hit your face. I pushed you, and you hit your... So in that moment, he was trying to manipulate what even had occurred so that I wasn't clear on what just took place.
So he knocked some of your teeth out.
They were shattered and ripped away from the root.
Got it.
They were pushed in. There's no way to really describe that feeling. Like, there was no way to describe that.
You posted a photo of the aftermath of that night.
I looked at my face and I saw blood everywhere. There was blood everywhere. My teeth were obviously disconfigured. I began to become angry, obviously, because when you look at your face and you see that, so I'm in a rage now. Now I'm like, I can't believe you did this to me. I'm going to pick up whatever I can.
Yeah.
And I'd gotten something. It was almost to defend myself because I felt like he was going to continue hitting me.
Absolutely.
And I cried. I cried out for my mom. I cried out for my sister because they happened to be there.
Oh, got it.
In the, they were in the same house?
Yes.
Oh,
got yes.
it. Oh, got wow. It.
Yes.
Right. Oh, he was real bold.
Yeah. I truthfully feel as though had no one been there, he would have continued.
Oh, yeah. And you said that was it for you.
That was it for me.
You left after that.
That was it for me. Sadly, I was so deeply, deeply codependent. I almost told myself, this too shall pass, as if I was going to continue the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I was still trying to defend him. I didn't see myself really without him.
It's hard. Those cycles, that codependent cycle is its own addiction.
And there's still a part of you that is saying, what did I do to make him do that?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Did anyone call the police then or no?
The neighbors actually called the police.
Got it.
The police did come to the apartment. And I didn't tell the truth. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, I didn't tell them the truth. They asked what happened, and I made up something to protect him.
Yeah. And I get that. I think for Black women...
Exactly.
My God, it's so hard because...
There's a lot of layers.
It's like calling the police on Black men and...
That.
you know,
the, all of that.
All of that. Am I going to turn them over to that? You know what I
mean? Absolutely. Right. That was...
And getting the police involved, period, is like telling your business.
Yes.
You
family
know,
business. Family business.
Absolutely.
Like, we can figure this out among ourselves.
We'll figure this
exactly.
out.
We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm.
And that's real.
Yeah.
Feeling like you snitching.
Exactly. All of that.
It was almost set up, that because it had been said throughout the relationship, like, if you ever call the police on me, if you ever do this, I'm done.
I was considering all of these things.
Absolutely.
I was considering my sister, her career. I was considering a lot of things except myself.
Yeah, I know.
After the last time when you decided that it was done, mm-hmm. did he leave you alone or?
No, I left. I stayed in a hotel for about a week. I wasn't sure what my next moves were going to be. I was still trying to hide it from people, trying to hide the experience of what happened. I actually took a meeting and sat in a meeting with my teeth braced and, you know, they had a wire on my teeth. Mm-hmm. And I told them a lie, like I tripped over something and I, you know, this is what happened to me. So I hadn't fully accepted what had happened.
Yeah.
And so when I did leave, I began to question, why did I allow this to happen to me? And then...
How it connected
to the rest of my family. And how if I don't heal it, this would play on in my children. I have to break these cycles and these patterns.
Absolutely. Speaking of family, we have your mom, Tina, mm-hmm. and we have your sister, Ashanti, mm-hmm. here.
Ashanti's a beautiful.
Grammy-winning megastar Ashanti is the princess of R&B. And holds the record for the fastest-selling debut album ever by a female artist. Throughout her multi-platinum career, Ashanti and her tight-knit family have been private. But after witnessing Shia's abusive relationship firsthand, they knew they had to speak out.
Hello, ladies.
Hi, beautiful.
It's so good to see you.
We're actually her backup singers and dancers.
Well, I'll tell you what, all of you are just so beautiful.
Mm. Thank you. You guys, too.
This is so amazing.
You know, just family.
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 Sitting down, talking it out.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Yeah.
And thank you, Ashanti, because I know you posted those pictures. We were all like, whoa, we'd really love to talk to this family about this, because everybody gets affected.
Yes, know? Absolutely.
So listening to her tell her story, how did it make you feel?
Well, I had to get my makeup done again because I was crying.
Yeah.
And to have that story told from her heart and the strength that she was able to display. Because it's always hushed. Back in the day, nobody talked about it.
It was like,
it was like, you'll be all right. You know?
Yeah.
If that's supposed to happen. Yeah. It was made to believe.
Your mother's so right that nobody talked about
mm-hmm.
it.
Nobody.
People still don't talk about
no.
it.
Right.
Nobody.
That's part of the problem.
There are so many artists that don't talk about it that are going through it. Even mm-hmm. with Shia sharing with me some of the people that reached out to her because of her post that are celebrities, like big celebrities that are... going through this, you know, so she's so brave, and we're all just super proud.
We're a private family. We don't go telling our business.
I hidden so much from the world, even in my previous posts.
And when she posted that last post with him talking behind and her back and forth, girl.
Yeah, a lot of strength. We do have the video that you were talking about, Miss Tina.
I don't need that. I'm gonna show you. Keep the knife with you. I'm gonna show you who you think you with. I'm gonna show you. Stab me whoever you want.
Ooh.
I'm gonna show you with no weapon.
Move.
I'm gonna show you with no weapon. Who you think I am?
Get off of me.
Go ahead. Get hype and do
get
that.
Get off of me.
Do that out of hypeness. Go ahead. You wanna spit in my face?
Why was that important for you to post?
That's so important for people to see and hear. In real time,
because I know that there are so many other women that are going through similar situations and are experiencing things like that. And a picture is one thing, but a video where you can actually hear it and you can actually
see it and feel it
is different.
You know what's deep about that is that when I was 21, I had to pull a knife out on somebody too. And scary.
It's very scary. It's very, very scary.
Yeah.
Because you are at the mercy of wherever they're at mentally. Yeah. You know, how far they want to take it. And I'm sitting here and I'm, you know, 5'1" and he's 6'4", 200 and whatever pounds. And he's literally, like, countering me like I'm a man, you know. And he's saying, I'm not a bitch. I'm not a this, you know. And it's like, at that moment in time, I'm not fighting you. Yeah. I see that where you're going to take this. Yeah. And he had actually already finished strangling me.
Oh, my God.
You can hear. I was scared. That was actually why I had picked up the knife, because that was the only thing that was close to me that I felt that I could protect myself.
And you're hoping to God you don't have to use that.
That
knife.
I don't have to use it.
Ashanti, when did you find out that all of this was going on?
Yeah,
with your
did you have any inkling that there was abuse going on in the relationship?
Yeah.
Either one of you, actually.
I don't know about the very, very, very first when it started. Ironically, I was on the phone with you in that clip.
Hmm.
It was like gut-wrenching, you know?
Because you can't get to her.
Yeah,
you
want to get to her. Do.
Nothing.
So it had been something that was going on, and you don't know how to deal with it. Like, okay, we got to respect whatever her decisions are. If I'm big sis and I'm like, well, I don't like him and I don't think y'all should be together. Both of y'all are toxic. Right. I used to say to them all the time, you guys being together is like you each drinking bleach. Like it's toxic.
Right.
But with everything that she's gone through and growing up, Ashanti's little sister,
right.
It's like you want your own stuff. So Absolutely. There are certain things I feel like she might have put up with, you know? And it's just like, okay, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with following her lead, but still knowing this is not the right thing.
Yeah.
What do we do now? No one gets a book on
how to handle this. And how to navigate. Because people, you know, when you love somebody, you can't necessarily just be like, hey, I'm coming to grab you up.
Absolutely.
You're not going to see this joke anymore.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. And there were a lot. Listen, I'm not a violent person.
Yeah.
But when that call came in, as an artist, you have resources.
That's
and
right.
sometimes...
Different.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, trust me. I know.
You know what I'm saying?
We got
trust
them.
Me and
we got those
And it's
relations.
Like, right. you know, I made the call. It's, you know...
Right.
And to be honest with you, her being the amazing person that she is didn't want to take that route.
I understand.
You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
She was
protecting.
Right.
Absolutely.
Even through the vile... disrespect, the manipulation, even how he kind of tried to come in and divide us.
Conquer and divide.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And isolate you.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So it was really hard.
Yeah. When it's your baby,
oh, yeah,
this is my baby.
Right.
And I respect her, but I also know that I'm the one that carried her. That's the mental that I go through. So if you're going to mess with that, then you're messing with me.
That's right.
But because I respect her and because I know that she loved him and because I wanted to follow her lead, I shouldn't say I wanted to because I didn't want to,
I did
out of respect. But that was the hardest thing I ever did in my life.
I can imagine.
And to go to her and say, you know, I could take care of this. And for her to say, no, Ma, it's okay. No, it's not okay. But I wouldn't argue with her. It was very difficult for me to accept someone that was intentionally hurting my daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I so understand that. I have a young woman in my life that was going through the same thing. It doesn't help to interfere. I literally snatched her up, took her away.
Yep.
I was like, you're not going to talk to him. You're not going to see him.
That's it.
This is over. This is going to turn into a very bad situation for everybody. It didn't work.
It doesn't work. And they go back.
And they go back. You got to pray and hope that one day they'll get it.
Yeah.
And they will leave on their own.
Yeah.
Because you can't force it. You can't make it happen.
And then there's always him
that was always trying to manipulate the family.
Yeah.
He manipulated her and he manipulated the family. Like my husband, he's from Brooklyn. We couldn't even really tell him. He didn't even know. It was a very dark time for all of us. And it was hard to accept seeing him still in different places, hearing about him, looking at Instagram like nothing.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
What's had happening.
Occurred, yeah.
There were times after he broke my teeth, he did continue to try to reach out. He did continue to try to come around and come with gifts, you know.
Crying,
and I want my family. He manipulated a lot of things between us as a family.
It'll never happen again.
I had developed that post-traumatic stress because he had this presence where he felt like he was above the law. There were times he would show up. If I were to post where I was on Instagram, he would show up to that place. There were times when I was on my best friend's bed sleeping and he was literally in the window taking pictures of me and sending pictures to my phone.
Ooh. That night, remember you hit me.
Yeah, I was at my best friend's house.
I was like, oh, nah.
Right.
I went in the garage. I got the bat. I pulled up in the truck. I had Vaseline. I was ready.
Yeah, you were ready.
And then
were you by yourself?
I was by myself because I had the adrenaline. You know what I mean?
You had enough.
Enough.
It was done.
My sister got her jaw broken, and I went after that Negro with a bat.
That's what she did.
I never found him, though. I didn't find him, but I went roaming the neighborhood, asking people if you see him. You tell him I'm looking for him.
Come see me.
I remember when the incident happened, the neighbors, the teeth. I didn't see your face.
Right.
I saw you guys arguing. I was kind of holding them apart. This is what's so manipulative. I sat with him downstairs and I'm like, yo, what's going on? What did you do? You know, and he's like, nah, sis, I didn't do nothing. It wasn't like that. She said some crazy, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like that. So we're sitting down. I'm in a nightgown and a bonnet in a lobby of the building.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that it got to that level. And when I go upstairs and see her face, that's when I'm like, what? When I turned and saw your mouth, my heart dropped and I almost said, damn, I should have let her hit him because she had a bottle.
Right.
So then I went and got the bottle and I ran down the street. I went in the elevator, got down from the apartment, and I'm looking for him in a nightgown and a bonnet and a bottle.
It was actually a black tourmaline crystal. Because
that's the one that you had.
Yes, it was a crystal. It was very big. And that was ironic when I think back. I'm like, well, that is the one that fights off bad energy.
Mm-hmm. It is,
you know.
But he disappeared.
Yes.
Once he knew that she was going to go back upstairs and see her face,
exactly.
he was gone because she went back down there.
Right.
And I told her, don't go. But I had to stay with her because she wanted to go. I was like, no, she's all bloody. I took that picture and she was like, Mom, look what he did to me. And I said, I'm taking a picture of this because I want the world to see this.
Oh,
I want to
go
to the police. And she was crying. She wasn't crying because she was hurt. She was furious. So she gave me a number to call a dentist. We called the emergency room, and they had to wire, like, not her jaw, but from here all the way to her teeth, and she couldn't talk. And I'll never forget, I had to buy mashed potatoes for 2 weeks. It was a traumatic, terrible time.
Yeah. It was a buildup, because the day before, he'd said something to me like, I should push your teeth down your face. Like, and we were all sitting in the living room.
We were all together.
He used to say things like this in front of my family.
He would say, I should do this. And I was like, you should what? He was like, nah, I mean.
There were times when they would have conversations.
8 hours I talked to him throughout a whole situation.
It was draining.
Very draining.
For a family. The manipulation was so
intertwined and deep.
And I also will say, because, and this is an important factor to bring up, I desired that family unit. I brought him in and we became family.
Yeah.
So he began working on projects with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
He began working with my mom. And that was another layer that made it difficult for me to walk away, for me
right.
to leave. Because
we were intertwined.
It was intertwined.
We've gone to his family's house, his mom and dad, because they were supposed to get married.
It was so deep and it was so thick.
Deep.
That he was trying to kind of separate me from my family and make mm-hmm. my family believe that I was the, you know, person that was
unreasonable.
Yes. So
mm-hmm.
it was a difficult time for us as a family.
Coming out of that relationship, how did it feel to feel the support of your mother and your sister?
I'm not gonna lie, no matter how much empathy someone has, it can seem and feel like you're isolated
yeah,
and you're
absolutely.
By yourself.
Like nobody like really, gets,
like
it.
Nobody really yeah. gets it. So there was a point in time where I'd felt alone, even in a room full of people. But I have to say, I am grateful to have had them.
Yeah.
Because I know that there are women that
don't
have anybody.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I can't say that I'd always felt supported.
We really didn't know how to handle this situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we just did the best that we could in terms of, we're going to love you. We're going to love you whatever you need.
We should have just all as a family collectively said, listen, this is not it. You shouldn't be doing this. There were times when he absolutely would manipulate my family. He would say certain things to them to make them feel like I was antagonizing him, to make them feel like I was starting these fights. He had manipulated them so badly to the point that they would sometimes believe the things that he'd said and side with him. And that ultimately caused a lot of chaos within the family.
I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, it's hard to support because you don't want to continually remind her of what's going on.
Okay.
But maybe it's something that she needed. Because I knew she was hurting, but you
yeah.
don't realize it until you feel it by seeing it.
Yeah.
How do you think it has changed you guys as a family unit?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I start?
Yes.
I would say it actually forced us to go to therapy, family therapy. It was really healing for us to sit as a family and for them to start to understand where I was and what I was going through.
Right.
You know, because there were different times where I felt like, well, I wasn't defended. And it began the process of becoming more aware of things that we were not speaking about as
right.
a family.
She started going to therapy. I was like, I'm your mother. What you going to therapy for? You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like,
why you can't talk to me?
Right. So at first I was offended. But then I said, no, wait, turn this around. she's helping her in different ways that I don't know about.
Exactly.
Personally, I wasn't brave enough to say, hey, I'm gonna go talk to a therapist. I feel like I'm good.
Right.
But her bringing it to the forefront, we all benefited from it, and just opening my eyes and my mind to certain things that make a difference in how you approach a situation.
Yeah.
And I think it helped. It really did.
100%.
Do you feel like you have more understanding?
I do have more of an understanding. Because, you know, sometimes, especially with our age difference, sometimes it's like you're going back and forth.
You're the
girl,
big sister.
You know?
Exactly.
You know, but it, with her therapist, it's like giving an alternative. Yes. Okay, this is how you used to deal with it, but how about try this way?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I didn't truly begin to heal until a few years after. You know, I began to first process what took place, why it happened, and why I allowed it. I'd been giving that power away for so long. And I think that that's something that we do also as women.
Absolutely.
And how was I, you know, enabling this behavior?
Yeah.
And once I began to do that, that was when the work started for me.
Would you say it took you a minute to, like, really let go of the hope?
Yeah. I kind of left without fully processing
it.
I hadn't accepted it, and I want to bring that up as an important point because that prolonged the healing process for
me. Absolutely.
And that avoidance, that, you know, kind of let's try to sweep this under the rug.
The shame and what other people think about you is all up in your head. You know, and it distorts your decision making.
Absolutely.
It takes a minute for you to figure out what the hell was
that?
What just happened in my life? And figure out your role in it, because you do have a role in it.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing you have to do is forgive yourself.
I like to consider myself like a phoenix, you know? We come through the fire and we rise,
That's
you know?
Right. Yeah.
But it is a story. It's a part of my journey. This is what's brought me to understanding who I am as a person. I've gotten to a point where I forgive myself and I've forgiven him even. Because at the end of the day, anyone that can do that to someone else, they don't love themselves.
Right.
They're unclear on who they are.
And that there's that old saying that what doesn't kill you makes
you stronger.
But it should be what doesn't kill you will make your heart bigger.
Absolutely.
I read that somewhere recently, and I really related to that.
One thing I wanted to mention, unfortunately, there were girls that I guess he was dealing with, and they were kind of making fun of the situation and posting pictures of themselves smiling with their teeth and pointing at their teeth.
Not only was there that, there were also friends that we'd had that were mutual, that were picking sides.
Yeah.
As a Black woman, when you're kicking someone when they're down, it is the most disgraceful, disgusting thing.
Yeah.
Whatever the situation was with these females and him, whatever, but that kind of disrespect is so vile, and it's harmful even mentally, you know, and it's triggering, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm
it was at the time.
Where's she at?
It was
you know what I mean? And it's not funny, like mentally with you, like, how could you laugh at someone or make fun of somebody that's going through stuff like that?
And that's a problem. I can't agree with you more, Shanti, because I feel like as Black women, we have to learn how to support each other better.
Absolutely. Yeah,
we really do. I think that there's so many of us who are so challenged with our own level of self-respect. We're like grabbing at anything that we can to feel like, you know, I'm somebody, or this is going to put me one step above her.
Exactly. I just want to say that I'm in a beautiful place. I am not a victim.
Yeah.
I am not a survivor. This has happened to me, and it has brought me to knowing myself on a deeper level.
It's interesting that you don't want to use the word victim and survivor.
Mm-hmm. Because I look at it like this. So when you're labeling yourself as a victim or a survivor, in order for you to truly heal, you have to detach from that narrative that this was an experience that's taught me.
Gotcha.
This is an experience that I've now risen above. So you're taking your power back in that way.
That's powerful.
Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely. Ladies, thank you so much.
Well, this was beautiful. Thank you so much for coming to the table and sharing your story.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. for having me.
I love it.
Thank you. Thank you so
much. You know we've been a fan since forever.
You know, we love you so much. You set the bar. You open the doors. Mm-hmm. You're just so gracious and so classy.
Wait. And it's Ashanti with her nails. She's like,
I love it.
Those beautiful nails. So one of my girlfriends, Lauren London, during Christmas, she's like our DJ.
Okay.
So she's like, all right, Jada, what you want to play? I was like, girl, put on that Rain on Me. Put on Foliage, all of it. She says, okay, Baltimore Ashanti. Listening to all your Ashanti songs.
Yes.
I say, yes, that's her nickname for me, Baltimore Ashanti.
To join the Red Table Talk family and become a part of the conversation, follow us at facebook.com/Red Table Talk. Thanks for listening to this episode of Red Table Talk Podcast, produced by Facebook Watch, Westbrook Audio, and iHeartRadio.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind. So you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper, wear it like no one else.